Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Hey, this is for my friends Marcus, Mike, and Todd. Thank you for voting me as the most impressive debut at Raw of this decade. Thank you. I send you a big hug. And for all those, listen to WrestleChat Radio from your friend Angel Garza. And remember, el Latino está en la casa, baby.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there. And you heard Angel Garza at the beginning of the show. He was one of the only things on this show that actually shined a little bit. This Raw is mind-boggling for several reasons, and we're going to get into it all here in just a moment. First piece of news before we start is we did have a WWE signing as far as a renewal of contract, a multi-year deal for Shelton Benjamin. Undisclosed amount of money, undisclosed amount of years, but they're usually signing five-year contracts. So my assumption is it's probably 5 year, could be 3 year, but it is a multi-year deal. We know that. So congratulations to Shelton Benjamin. Now this show started out pretty good, actually. Randy Orton comes out, said he was going to fight Matt Hardy in a no holds barred match. It wasn't going to happen because Hardy is not going to be cleared. Hardy came out. You know, ironically, when you're on your way out the door and you're doing your best work, that says a lot, right? So Matt Hardy gives a very impassioned promo. Very good. Randy Orton's doing a good job, too. What this basically leads to is Randy Orton beating down Matt Hardy. And the cameraman taking shots of people who are in distress over it. And we know there's not going to be any payoff with Matt Hardy. Because presumably Matt Hardy is leaving. But there will eventually be a payoff with Edge, I'm sure, at WrestleMania. So I'm okay with this. I think they both did a good job. It was long. I'll give them that. It was quite long. And at times seemed a little overkill. But in the general scheme of things, the only issue I really have with it is this. Does Matt Hardy not have one friend? Not one? You know, it's funny. Rey Mysterio is about to be DDT'd on the floor, and here comes Humberto Carrillo. Or somebody's about to get beat up. Kevin Owens is about to get beat up. Here comes the Street Profits. Matt Hardy is about to basically be crippled. Crickets. So, you know, that's a little weird. But aside from that, I thought they did a good job in the opening, Mike. It's putting some decent heat on Randy Orton. Some of the, I want to call them, I don't know what to call them. You know, I don't like the term marks, and I never did. It's derogatory, and I don't care what anybody says. We've went into this time and again what it means. I don't care if the meaning has changed over the years. I don't care if wrestlers say everybody's a mark. I'm a mark, too. No, you're not. A mark is a moron. A mark is someone who doesn't know the difference between reality and fantasy, and that you're shilling for money. That's what it means. That's what it's always going to mean. End of conversation. But some of the smarter fans, let's put it that way, are chanting one more time. That doesn't help. Folks, that doesn't help. Why will you not allow yourself to be immersed into this? I don't understand it. Really, I don't. Doesn't help Randy Orton. You know, I just don't get it. But in the grand scheme of things, Mike, I think they did a pretty good job with the opening here. It seemed to be effective.
Yeah, it was effective, and you're right. I mean, especially where was the help? You know, you're right about the help not coming. And especially the fact that now we know that Christian is on his way back to active duty, you know, why, and has signed a deal, why couldn't you have had Christian come out?
I think, you know, they will eventually, but not with Matt Hardy. And I don't understand. Like I said, Matt Hardy doesn't have one friend, not one, even if they failed. You know, even if you sent out a jabron guy, I don't care who you send out. Send out someone. Because otherwise it makes Matt Hardy look like he doesn't have one friend in the locker room and everybody's just like, who cares? I hope he gets his ass kicked. Send out somebody. Even if Randy Orton takes him out, send out somebody. Nope, didn't send out a soul. But still, Todd, I think they did a pretty good job overall.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Joe. Like you said, with the Matt Hardy and Randy Orton thing last night, and one little problem with that, it took a little too long. It took a little too long to do the.
It was long. It was long. There's no question about it. That took a little bit away from the drama of it, no question. But anyway, we move on. Becky Lynch comes out, basically drops money all over the place and says, here's my fine ahead of time for what I'm about to do to Shayna Baszler. I'm going to be honest with you. The Becky Lynch thing is getting thin. And I'm glad they're taking a break after WrestleMania, her and Seth Rollins, because Seth isn't getting thin, but Becky Lynch is getting thin. And the reason she's getting thin is because they're not writing anything good for her at all. Something good for Becky Lynch would have been get Shayna Baszler there and legitimately have her attack Shayna Baszler. Not come out with a bag full of $100 bills and say, I found out what to do with my fortune. I'm going to pay my fine ahead of time for what I'm about to do to Shayna Baszler. That's not good. And then Shayna Baszler just appears on the screen and basically says, hey, I'm entering the women's elimination chamber. Boy, I'll tell you, you want to talk about a fart of a match. There is not one soul in this match, except for Shayna Baszler, that has a snowball's chance in hell of winning it. This is the equivalent of saying, we are going to have a tag team battle royal to decide who the number one contender is at WrestleMania, and it's going to involve Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins and the Colognes and the Usos. Well, I wonder who's going to win. Could you take all of the drama completely out of it? Could you do that? I have no interest in this match. Zero interest in this match. Now, there's going to be people who say, well, maybe Asuka. Asuka's not winning it. We've had two or three Asuka-Becky Lynch matches. You think they're going to do it again at WrestleMania? No. It's damn obvious they're doing Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Could you make it any more obvious? Oh, gee, I don't know. Maybe Liv Morgan will win. And we'll have Liv Morgan against Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Yeah, that's going to happen. Anyway, Shayna Baszler drops the old S-bomb and says she's going to beat the shit out of Becky Lynch, which was kind of funny. And then Becky Lynch really doesn't have any comeback except, well, I'll be rooting for you in that match. Which, Becky Lynch for a while was playing her character so perfectly that it was scary. And I said, this is going to work. Long term, this is really going to work because she has this down. And the gimmick at that time was she's put on this false bravado. She put on this, I'm tough. And she is tough, but she's emotionally fragile sometimes. And this is her shelter. She sinks herself, immerses herself into this bravado, and it helps her to achieve what she wants to achieve, but we know who the real Becky Lynch is. Now it's not that anymore. Now it's the equivalent of some girl in a bar challenging guys to a fight. That's what she reminds me of. Hey, nobody here tougher than me. I'm not digging it no more. And neither are the fans as much as they used to, because they're not writing it well enough for her. Had I been Paul Heyman, had I been whoever's writing Raw, I would have said, this is the moment where we have to expose Becky Lynch a little bit. This is the moment where Becky Lynch has to come out and be a little bit less of a chip on her shoulder. This is the moment Becky Lynch has to come out and say, look, last week for the first time in my career, and I didn't start this yesterday, I had a woman sink her teeth into my neck and literally rip my flesh off my neck like an animal. And Shayna Baszler, I fully understand that you come from an MMA background. I fully understand that you're this, that, and the other thing. But if you got to stoop that low, if you got to go to those tactics because you think you can't beat me, then why should I be worried about you? You were a big fish in NXT. I watched you. I know how tough you are. This is not NXT. That's all she has to say. She doesn't have to throw money and say, here's my money. I'm going to beat the shit out of her. What is all that about? It's almost making her have such a chip on her shoulder. You're like, well, it's about time somebody knocked her down a few pegs. You don't want that. That's exactly what you don't want from Becky Lynch. So I don't know, Mike. I think they're writing her into a bad situation, and I'm glad she's taking a little time off after WrestleMania.
Right, and we basically know that she's going to lose that match because she is taking – they're not going to have her take time off as a champion and not defend the championship for 30 days or whatever, however long they're going to take off, you know, or whatever they're going to do, wedding, the honeymoon, whatever it is they're going to do that her and Seth are going to do. So, yeah. The writing is bad for this, you know, and I don't know if in particular Heyman actually did write this, because from what we said about Heyman before, this doesn't seem like this whole thing with Becky Lynch last night doesn't seem like something Heyman would write.
No, and listen, Mike, the approach is exactly the opposite. Would it not be better to have Shayna Baszler really go heavy on this and let Becky Lynch be the one who's kind of, you know, awkward about this? Shayna Baszler could easily come out there and say, hey, Becky, do you think when I was the NXT champion, I didn't watch you? And I didn't see you coming out here with I'm the man and I'm this and I'm the Irish last kicker. And I know you were trying to convince yourself that you're really as tough as you are. I know you're trying to. I've fought in cages with girls who do the exact same thing as you. They talk themselves up. I'm this. I'm that. I'm a badass. No, I really am a badass. And everybody's a badass till a real badass comes along, Becky. And you're looking at one, and I'm looking at a scared little girl who pretended to be a badass until a real badass showed up. That's what I'm looking at, Becky. Then Becky Lynch could, you know, get that sympathy. You know what I'm talking about, Mike? And people would say, yeah, you know, Shayna Baszler has a point. I hope Becky can overcome that. This way, it just, I don't know. It's not working for me.
Right. And, you know, for how many years did Heyman do the exact same thing with people like, well, Sabu and Taz,
yep,
all these people that were badasses, but you take a look at them, and they shouldn't have been badasses. I mean, Taz is a small guy, but he was played as a badass, but everybody knew that was a front with Taz, you know?
Yeah, look, they could have handled this better. So, I'm kind of excited because Aleister Black is actually fighting somebody who I've heard of. Well, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but let me just say he's fighting someone who's decent. You know, a decent mid-carder at the very least, if not an upper mid-carder. Eric Rowan's been on a tear. He's undefeated since they started this gimmick with him bringing down this cage or whatever the hell it is. And I'm like, okay, we got something good going on here. this could be the beginning of a long feud, and we're probably finally going to find out what's in this cage. We're probably finding out tonight. So I'm saying, okay, let me keep a good eye on this match, because this is probably going to lead to something pretty fairly big. Led to nothing big. So here's the new WWE thing. Aleister Black is the toughest man alive, and it doesn't make any difference if Eric Rowan can throw around 300-pound guys four at a time. He can't throw around Aleister Black because Aleister Black is Superman. So there goes Eric Rowan's push down the toilet. There goes, who cares what's in the cage? What's it matter? He can't win. I thought this whole thing with Eric Rowan was designed to be a big build-up, and we're going to find out what's in the cage, and it's going to lead to a big push for Eric Rowan. No, no, you're wrong. Absolutely wrong. Yes, I know that Eric Rowan got plenty of offense in this match. But that's almost the exact wrong way to do this match, and I'll tell you why. I would have accepted it better if Aleister Black had avoided a lot of punishment and then just caught him by surprise with the black mass, a couple of them. Because then at least you would have said, well, yeah, you know, if he had got his hands on Aleister Black, it would have been a different story, but he didn't really get his hands on him. But not only did he get his hands on him, he beat him all the way through a commercial break that lasted about 9 minutes. I've never seen a commercial break last longer than that first commercial break. How many commercials are you going to get in there? And through that whole thing, it's like, oh, the fans don't need to see Eric Rowan winning. When you come back from commercial, that's when Black will take advantage, and that's all the fans need to see. Aleister Black should not be able to come back from that kind of punishment from a man that large, and when you do that, it makes Eric Rowan's offense look weak. It makes Eric Rowan's offense look like if you can't put away a man one-third your weight with your power moves, then you're not very powerful. And that's why you avoid those moves. You know, if you're Aleister Black and Eric Rowan and you're allowed to script your own match, if I'm Aleister Black, I'm saying, well, let me try to avoid all those power moves from you. I'll take like one or two and then like fall out of the ring. But if you give me these big power slams and these big, belly-to-belly suplexes and things, I shouldn't be able to kick out of that. Not at your size. So don't give me those. I'll avoid most of those. I'll take everything you've got to offer. I'll take all your finishers. I'll take your power moves. I'll take everything else, and I'll kick out. But you won't kick out of mine. Okay. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're promoting Aleister Black, but you've just thrown Eric Rowan off the cliff, and there is no coming back from that. There's no coming back from that. Don't feed us Eric Rowan as a fierce, monstrous animal. Who's going to stop him? I don't know. 175-pound guy? That's who's going to stop him. Wasn't a fan of the way they booked this, Todd. I think Aleister Black just took too much punishment for a guy his size.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's like just like on SmackDown when they're doing Braun Strowman, they're throwing him under the bus too, and they're making him like a mid-card jobber most of the time anymore as well.
Well, at least he's got a belt. But, I mean, at the end of the day, even Ricochet doesn't do this. I mean, Ricochet tries to avoid most of those power moves. He'll catch one or two, but then usually he's avoiding them, Mike. Aleister Black's style is give me everything you've got, and then I'll pop up like I'm the Undertaker, and I'll kick you in the head, and don't you dare pop up from mine. I don't like that, and I just anything you're going to do with Eric Rowan.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, what I would have loved to have seen is, and we saw they kind of teased it at the beginning of the match where he comes in and where Black comes in and looks at that cage. What I would have loved to have seen is as he's climbing into the ring, he kicks the cage off the steps. Then you have Rowan go nuts and do all his offense, and then all of a sudden here comes Black Mass and 1-2-3 for Aleister Black after all the offense, after the fact that he kicked the cage off the stairs and angered Rowan, you know? That would have
truthfully
been...
if I'm gonna book this match and you ask me to book the match, I'm booking it this way. Eric Rowan is mauling Aleister Black. Someone else who Eric Rowan is gonna get into a feud with comes out and starts fucking with that cage. And when Eric Rowan goes to retrieve it, Aleister Black is the recipient or the beneficiary of that. When he turns around, he black masses him. That doesn't finish him, but he gives him the second one and finishes him. That way, at least you could say, well, A, it took two black masses to finish him off. B, I'm not sure Aleister Black was coming back from this if that guy didn't sneak down there and steal that cage or try to mess with that cage. And C, we got something out of it, a branch on a tree. We now have Eric Rowan obviously is going to start a feud with this guy. And we just saw Aleister Black tested very heavily. And as we thought, with a bigger guy, he's going to have a little trouble unless he can avoid a lot of these punishing moves. Then it makes sense. It's logical. This is not logical. What happened here was not logical. So there goes Eric Rowan's push. Does anyone care what's in the cage? Does anyone care about Eric Rowan now? No. That's the answer. No. So good job, WWE, of giving us month of this, month after month of him fighting preliminary guys, month after month of him just tearing through people. And this was your big payoff? This is it? Great. That's just great. That makes me want to throw myself and immerse myself into all of your storylines when you give me no payoff from it whatsoever. Backstage, we get an interesting thing. We get Lana and Bobby Lashley and Angel Garza and Zelina Vega, and there's going to be a tag team match. And Lana says, well, you know, last week was Valentine's Day, so I thought the two hottest couples should get together, take on Rusev. Rusev's back. And Humberto Carrillo. And right away, Zelina Vega says, whoa, 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 whoa. We're not a couple. We may be two of the hottest people here, but we're not a couple. Our arrangement is strictly business. This was very awkward and weird. And I don't exactly know why they did it. But they did it on purpose because they had Lana say that knowing what was going to happen. And then Angel Garza kind of bursts in and kind of saves it by saying, well, nobody could, you know, as pretty as she is, nobody can really tie me down. I can't be a one woman man. Look at me. So he's going to do that, you know, Latino heartthrob thing. But it was just awkward. It felt weird. It felt very weird. I'm not sure why they thought this was going to be a great deal for Zelina Vega and Angel Garza. Why would they want a tag team again? I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. But I just found it a little odd. So anyway, Charlotte Flair comes out. She gives actually a pretty good promo finally. Pretty good promo. I'm looking forward to that match actually. So not much to talk about there. So let's go straight to Drew McIntyre, who comes out, and I'm telling you, the WWE is going to do it again. They're going to ruin Drew McIntyre. See, here's the thing about Drew McIntyre. For him to once in a blue moon show a little bit of a personality, show a little bit of a comical side to him, is cool. Once in a blue moon for him to get in a joke, once in a blue moon for him to crack a smile, once in a blue moon for him to pander to the audience is good. The rest of the time, he should be a human wrecking machine who's centrally focused on, I am going to destroy Brock Lesnar. Instead, he comes out like, you know, he's going to host a late night talk show. Hey, everybody, and let's all point to the WrestleMania sign. And let's all listen, you're going to destroy Drew McIntyre. He's not supposed to be a stand-up comedian. He's not supposed to be a master of ceremonies. The reason everybody liked Drew McIntyre to begin with is he came out, no nonsense, I'm going to break somebody's friggin' neck. And now that he's a face, just once in a blue moon to have him do something with the audience is fine. Overkilling it is not fine. And then you have Paul Heyman come out. And Paul Heyman says, well, Brock Lesnar's not here, but I got somebody has a big bone to pick with you. MVP. MVP. So what does this make Drew McIntyre look like? Well, I'm picking on a guy who's 10 years past his prime, and I beat him up last week. And now he's, you know, out for revenge. He's not going to get it. So this is just going to be a big, you know, whatever. And I just don't think this did Drew McIntyre any favors. And I'm a real big Drew McIntyre fan, but you better watch what you're doing here. Because, again, you want him to be that serious, mean streak type guy who's just – he's a face now. Look at Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he's a pretty serious guy. Once in a while, he'd crack a joke, crack a smile, do a little something fun with the audience. But he didn't come out and be like, hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Drew McIntyre show. And now we're going to point to the WrestleMania sign. And then we're all going to sing Kumbaya. And now we're all going to do that. No, 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 no. You're handling them wrong. I'm telling you, you're handling them wrong. I know you're trying to get him over big as a fan favorite. He already was. Because they liked his style. Don't change it. Because if you change it completely, you might as well have him coming out playing air guitar, Mike.
Yeah, you might as well. And one of the other two guys is not there to join with him. So, you know, that's that. And I do enjoy what they do with the countdown thing. That's a fun little thing that I could deal with that, you know.
That's fine, yeah.
Especially against a guy like MVP, like you say, 10 years past his prime, and you could get away with that against MVP, you know. Now, I don't want to see him try that against, you know, against Lesnar or somebody like that because, you know, all he needs to do with Lesnar is just kick him in the face and be done with it. Now, Lesnar probably not going to lose that match, but that if he was going to win that match, that's what Drew needs to do. And you're right. When they get something good, they tend to ruin it. You know, the WWE does. Rusev Day. You know,
yeah, I know.
A number of things we can name, you know.
They always seem to do it, Mike. They always seem to go too far. They always seem to jump the shark. It was fine to have them come out and be nice to the fans that time and say thanks for coming in the snowstorm. Appreciate it. That was cool. Last night he should have just come out and said, look, folks, you want to all point to the WrestleMania sign, fine. You can say, look, you know, we all know we point to the WrestleMania sign. Let's all do it together because I got news. From this point forward, the only Drew McIntyre you're going to see till WrestleMania is a wrecking machine. Because I'm centrally focused on nothing else but destroying Brock Lesnar, and I am going to do it. That way, at least the fans would say, all right, well, he's basically given us one more little cutesy thing, fan participation. Now he's going to really laser focus in on Brock Lesnar. Now it looks like they're just going to do, you know, Drew McIntyre, master of ceremonies. So we get Bobby Lashley and Angel Garza against Humberto Carrillo and Rusev. And I got to tell you, I was a little disappointed in the match in general. Bobby Lashley is, I don't know what you want to do with Bobby Lashley. God bless him. He seems like a nice guy, but it's just not working. It's just not working. One minute he's losing to, you know, Ricochet. Next minute he's Rusev. Nobody's interested in the Rusev-Bobby Lashley feud at all anymore. And this match was really saved by Garza and Humberto Carrillo. Telling you, they work very well together, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of style there. There's one part of the match where Garza goes to the outside, and I'm sure they had it planted, but some girl runs up, he kisses some girl, and while he's attempting to, like, cash in on that, see, I told you, Humberto Carrillo comes from nowhere and just drives him into the wall. Those two guys are doing their job. Rusev looks bored. I think Rusev is gone from this company. If what I see last night, I think Rusev might have decided I'm not re-signing a contract. I know that sounds like a long shot, considering his wife is there, but he lost Angel Garza clean. Well, not semi-clean, at least. Which tells me two things. One, they have no big thing for Rusev. What do they have for Rusev? Nothing. Oh, Rusev's going to come out of this thing looking great, he said. Really? Well, I don't see how he's looking great. They didn't let Bobby Lashley pin Rusev. They let Angel Garza pin Rusev. That's a big win for Angel Garza. And that's because, much like we did, the WWE took a look at his last couple performances and said, I think we got something here. And I'm sure they're going to blow it. I'm sure they're going to, because I have no confidence in them whatsoever, zero confidence in the WWE. But I'm telling you, they got something here. And they really, really need to sit back and say, how are we going to work this to our best advantage? How do we take the most advantage out of this? Every time I see Garza, the first thing that comes to my mind is Eddie Guerrero. I'm not saying he's at that level yet. I'm saying that's exactly where he can be. Given some time, Todd.
Oh, yeah, like you said with Angel Garza, you're going to see him get big soon, like we said before.
Okay, I guess we caught you by surprise there. Mike, what do you think? I mean, Garza was the one who kind of shined last night, in my opinion, him and Humberto Carrillo.
And I can very easily see at some point, you're going to get this feud, but you know that Andrade's coming back, and you
That's
know
right.
what they're trying to do with him. I can very easily see Carrillo flipping, going with Garza, and kind of having a double team against Andrade, you know? I can see that happening. And look, what they're doing with Garza is basically, you know what that is? That's Latino heat. That's what that is.
Yeah, it is. And he's doing it very well. Now, word of caution. If you have Angel Garza doing this deal where he lets women run up and kiss him in the audience and stuff like that, he's going to get popular. He's not going to be booed. Because fans like fan participation. You know what I mean? And they're going to say, well, hey, no other wrestler came over to the ringside and did this, so, you know, I like him. Okay, well, be careful of that if you want him to be a heel, because, you know, that's probably going to be counterproductive to Humberto, because people are going to say, well, I don't know, I'm rooting for Garza. You see, at least he gets the fans involved. Okay, well, just a word of caution. If you want him to be the heel, limit that. Definitely limit that. You want him to be a face, eventually, boy, that's going to be some... The very first thing I thought of when that girl ran up and kissed him is, boy, is there going to be a big boon for him when he turns face finally. With that kind of audience participation and stuff. He's got a lot of great facial expression. He's pretty good on the microphone. He's got a pretty good grasp of the English language. Him and Carrillo, this has made Carrillo relevant. I didn't like Humberto Carrillo before. I'm like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see Carrillo against AJ and all this. I didn't want to see it. This I want to see. So that's good. They've at least made, you know, Angel Garza has helped make Carrillo, in my opinion, because up till then I wasn't too interested in Humberto, and now I am. So, all right, so what do we get next? We get the women's tag team match. The women's match, Kairi Sane and Natalya. This was just a setup because Natalya and Asuka are in that elimination chamber. Folks, this elimination chamber match is an insult. It's an insult. I take it as a personal insult. You didn't even try. It's, well, how do we get Shayna Baszler to fight Becky Lynch? I don't know. Maybe the way you get everybody to fight everybody, by Becky Lynch saying, I want Shayna Baszler, nobody else. After what happened to me, I want Shayna Baszler. No, we're going to go through a fake, ridiculous, contrived Elimination Chamber match that no one wants to see because everybody already knows the winner. It's ridiculous. Natty loses by count out because Asuka hits her from behind when the referee's not looking. Just a setup for the Elimination Chamber, Mike, and the Elimination Chamber thing, again, is, you know, who wants to see this?
Yeah, who wants to see it? But I want to focus on Kairi Sane and Asuka. We've said it last week. Asuka is having a ball. All right? She is happy as can be, and she's having a ball. Now, look, when you've got a worker that way, that is that way, that's happy and is happy to be there, that can translate to other workers. And it's starting to translate to Kairi Sane. We know that Kairi Sane's contract is coming up, but the way she worked last night and her reactions coming to the ring and her reactions after the match was she was having a ball. You know, she was having fun. You know, she was happy to be there. And I think
they're finally getting something good to do. They're finally getting something good to do. And hey, Kairi Sane got a win, even if it's a count out win. At least she gets a win, right? So AJ Styles comes back with the rest of the OC and basically runs down the fact that he's Mr. WrestleMania. This is leading up to what I am told is going to be AJ Styles versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. The case, you know, they could have picked a lot worse person because at this stage of his career, The Undertaker needs somebody to create the motion, and AJ Styles is exactly that guy. I could see AJ Styles really selling the Taker, and I think it could be good. AJ, I don't think, has ever really gotten that WrestleMania match he deserves, though, that really big, you know, almost a feature match. Hasn't really gotten that. Hopefully he will. Anyway, he's basically spouting off at the mouth. Ricochet comes out, and AJ Styles says, listen, I think this is hilarious. AJ Styles says, do you honestly think that anybody, and I mean anybody, thinks that you're beating Brock Lesnar? Now, that actually made me spit out a little bit of my drink because I didn't think he would go there, to be honest. I said, oh, crap. Talk about saying what everybody's thinking, you know. And this led to Ricochet challenging him, but Carl Anderson stepping out and saying, no, you know, you shouldn't have to fight him. Your first time back, I'll fight him. It's a good match. Ricochet wins this time without using his finisher. That was good. Mix it up a little. I like that. Mix it up a little. So this is okay. Nothing to brag about, Todd, but I mean, you know, I'm glad to see AJ back. And at the same time, I'm also... I'm glad that we're seeing Ricochet mix his finishers a little bit, and you know, it was okay.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Ricochet was doing the same finishers over and over, it's like, this is getting boring with him doing the same finishers over and over. Now since he's mixing his finishers up, it's like we could see something different now, Ricochet.
It gets old after a while. If every single time. And I said this even about the arrow, you know, when Neville was around. I said, if he's going to do the same exact finisher every time, it's really impressive when you see it. And you're like, wow, that's awesome. I want to see that again. And then you see it again, and you're like, damn, that is just great. I can't wait to show my friend. Hey, look what this guy's going to do. And then after you see it 40 times, you're like, well, okay, I've seen it 40 times. Is there anything else that this guy does? And it's great if you have a couple of moves to go to. We're having really trouble here with the phones. I don't know what the hell's going on with the phones. Mike, I thought this was an okay match.
I thought it was an okay match, too. And look, if it's leading to the Undertaker versus AJ Styles, I said this a couple years back when AJ first signed, you get the Phenom versus the Phenomenal One. You know? That's,
right.
That's how they should, even though The Undertaker, even though one's 40 and one's 55 years old, that's what it should be. That's how they should promote this match. The Phenom versus the Phenomenal One.
I would agree with that. We dropped Todd, so call back, Todd. I don't know what the hell happened. Anyway, you know, listen, I'm okay with Ricochet fighting Karl Anderson. I'm glad Karl Anderson got a match out of this. But next up, we get the Seth Rollins brother love show, I guess. All of a sudden, we got the stained glass Seth Rollins, and he's going to come out and do a sermon or whatever the hell they're going to call it. And what the hell is that all about? So now, all of a sudden, Seth Rollins is more like a cult leader, a religious cult leader. And he's in the ring basically saying, well, phase one of this was to do this, and there would be initial opposition. Now phase two, we got to eliminate anybody who doesn't agree with us. And this is, you know, this is, what is it, Antifa? I mean, I don't know what the hell it's supposed to be. It's going to draw some wrath because of the religious connotations. I'm okay with it because I think that's supposed to be what it's supposed to do. Is it's supposed to draw wrath. Here's what I'm not okay with. This is the feature match like 4 weeks in a row. Can you come up with something else? Number two, can someone please tell me why in the name of the blue hell did you give Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy the tag team belts if they're never, ever, ever going to defend them? You wouldn't even know they are the tag team champions. The tag team championship on Raw is irrelevant. Buddy Murphy is always teaming with the AOP or doing a eight-man tag or whatever the hell it is. There is no, we're a team, we got to go out and defend the belts. Now, I assume that's where this ending is going to lead us. But we get a match where, once again, the Viking Raiders are made to look like they went from who will ever stop these guys, much like Eric Rowan, and the announcers being forced to say no one can stop these guys, they're a force beyond, to we're two fat bumbling idiots who can't get out of our own way 90% of the time, and we're always leaving Kevin Owens in the ring alone to get his ass kicked. Every goddamn time. Seth Rollins, I don't know where Samoa Joe is. Maybe he's hurt again. And out comes the Street Profits to make the save. And I guess we're going to see the Street Profits maybe try to win the tag team belts from Rollins and Murphy. That's the only thing I can think of. But at this stage of the game, A, the sermon part was great. Kevin Owens is good in what he's doing, but you're pushing this thing too far with the Viking Raiders and every week. Every week. That's why the Viking Raiders should have been going after AOP, who are the tag team champions. Then it makes sense. Kevin Owens is trying to get to Seth Rollins, and the AOP and the Viking Raiders are in a feud over the belts that they lost. That would make a hell of a lot more sense than Seth Rollins being a tag team champion. Seth Rollins being a tag team champion makes zero sense. Zero sense. And right now, it's like there isn't even tag team champions. Okay, they're the tag team champions. And the last time you saw them talk about defending them or a team stepping up to fight them is when? While there are legitimate tag teams, you got a totally illegitimate tag team, a guy who doesn't even need a tag team belt in Seth Rollins, he's got it. Makes no sense. I'm sorry. And this thing with Kevin Owens, and it's getting very old. It's getting very old. The Viking Raiders are the ones that are getting old with this. If anyone is getting hurt by this, AOP is getting hurt a little bit because they went from two monsters who are, you know, again, indestructible monsters to now they get their ass beat by Kevin Owens on a regular basis, the both of them. And they're just bodyguards for Seth Rollins. They're the third wheel in this. It's Seth Rollins is the leader. Buddy Murphy's kind of like the scrappy up and coming guy. And then you got your bodyguards. That's kind of what it is. They're relegated to being that. And that's a shame because you could have got a lot out of the Viking Raiders and the AOP if the Viking Raiders lost their belts to the AOP. It's just a huge mistake. Now the Street Profits coming down. Maybe that'll lead to a match with Murphy and Seth Rollins. I don't know. But I know the Street Profits probably won't win it. Because at this stage, if you've given a belt to Rollins and Murphy, which you never should have done to begin with, you can't take it away that quick, or it just makes Seth Rollins' little faction there look ridiculously weak, and that they're not completing any of their so-called missions. So, again, Mike, I think they've painted themselves in a bit of a corner here.
they have painted themselves in a bit of a corner. And look, I mean, most of these antagonist groups have those guys. You know, you had the Four Horsemen with the bodyguards were the Andersons, you know, or Anderson and Tully Blanchard. You know, you had the Triple Threat with Shane Douglas and we know Bam Bam Bigelow was the bodyguard there, you know, and so all of these things have that, but I don't know what they're doing with this. And look, what we're getting here, what we got last night was basically what I term as Seth Wyatt.
Yeah, kind of, right? Or a little bit of brother love thrown in there too. I don't get it. I'm not knocking it. It could work, and Seth Rollins is doing a very good job of it. And I like the idea of the whole stained glass Seth Rollins and coming out during the sermon. I like that. It looks like a religious cult. But if you're going to have a religious cult, you better be ready to push some buttons. And I'm not 100% sure Buddy Murphy is the right guy. The AOP might be. I'm not sure Buddy Murphy is. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. He seems like an odd guy for that kind of a gimmick. Hell, I'd have rather seen Rowan. He's been involved in that before where you say, here we go. He's found another Messiah. But we'll see. We'll see how far they take this. I just think it was a very bad main event because it's rehashed and rehashed and rehashed, and there's still no real conclusion. It's still a DQ. Fans go home going, oh, whatever. We saw a rip-off ending. That's the way you want to send the fans home from Raw? I don't know. When Raw was over, I felt like that was the main event. That was your big bang of can't wait to see what happens next week. Not really. So let's run this down very quickly. Randy Orton and Matt Hardy did a great job. I'm going to give them an A on that. I think Charlotte Flair did a good job in her promo. I'll give her a B plus on that. Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler, I'd get in a C. They've went completely the wrong direction with this. Instead of going with two badasses who think that they're the toughest person on the planet, you should have went with Shayna Baszler saying everybody's a badass till a real badass shows up, Becky, and we know you're not that. I can see right through you. I know who you are. I know the persona you put on, and I know the bluff you're putting on, and I get it, and I know why you did it. But I see right through it, because that would have been cool. I have no idea why Aleister Black has to go over Eric Rowan. I have no idea. I'm not suggesting Eric Rowan should go over Aleister Black either. I just don't even know why they're fighting. Thought you were doing something with Rowan. No, apparently not. I know I didn't mention the 24/7 thing. I don't care. That's why. Drew McIntyre, again, I think you didn't jump the shark with him yet, but you're heading there. You're trying to jump the shark with him, aren't you? Maybe you should come out and pass out party hats and noisemakers. Is that what you want him to do? MVP got in a good line where he said, I forget who he said, you got the jokes now. I guess you think you're earning names some Scottish comedian, I guess, or whatever the hell he was. And I'm like, yeah, man, he kind of nailed it. It's not what you want from Drew McIntyre. The rest of the stuff was kind of fluff. So all in all, the rating is not going to be good because, again, I think the Randy Orton thing was good, but it was too long. Charlotte Flair's promo was pretty good. Ricochet and Anderson was good, but I mean, what's the real meaning to this match? Him and Anderson put on a 15 or 12 minute match where Anderson gets plenty of offense. So does anybody think that Brock Lesnar is not just going to squash him in 15 seconds? So I have to give this, I'm going to give it a C- because I really think they failed on a lot. If I was there live, put it this way, if I was there live, I would have went home saying, I don't think I saw a very good Raw. I think you could have gave us a little more for our money. What's your thoughts, Mike?
I'll give it a C- as well. And look, I just want to say one more thing about Asuka and and Kairi Sane. There's nobody to put them against right there. Where's the Iconics? But what, that's neither here nor there. There's nobody to put them against. Where they should be leading up to is having them split up and having them have a series of matches against each other. That's where they should be leading up to.
It could very well happen. Could very well happen. And the last thing I want to say about this before we go to Todd's rating is, if you're a Rusev fan, this is a hard thing to watch. The WWE said to you, we promise you, I know you don't like this angle too much with Rusev and Lana, that them breaking up and stuff. Well, I know it makes you feel uncomfortable and you don't like it, but you hang in there. Because at the end of this, Rusev's going to come out looking strong and you're going to get what you want. That's another lie. Rusev came out looking ridiculously weak. The fans are chanting Rusev Day. You're doing nothing about it. I know he's not signing a contract. Well, put the right amount of dollars on there, okay? If you're going to give Zack Ryder $600,000 or more, then I'm sure you can give Rusev some money. Put the right amount of money on there and tell him we intend to give you a push. We're going to go back to this Rusev Day thing and see what happens because it still seems hot. And I'm sure he's going to sign on the dotted line. He's not going to if you're letting him get rolled up every week or keeping him off TV for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you guys. I got to go with the C- as well. And it just was not a good Raw last night.
No, I felt weird. The whole Raw just felt kind of weird to me. I was disappointed again that there's no real payoff to Eric Rowan. There isn't going to be, folks. They've dropped it. It's just like, whatever. I don't even know if we'll ever find out what's in the cage. Who cares now, right? He's already suffered his loss. The only way this was relevant is if Eric Rowan went on a tear where you say nobody can beat him, and it's building up to a big match with a huge name, and we might find out what's in that cage. Now it's just like, eh. Just a gimmick to come down with to make you mildly more interesting than you are, even though you're still a mid-carder. So that's what he is. And I don't know who's next for Aleister Black. Who's he supposed to fight? I don't know. Seth Rollins, I guess. I don't know. The whole thing just kind of left me cold, unfortunately. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We will be back here, obviously, on Friday with a NXT AEW report. See you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.